Well, hey there. This is Joshua, pastor of Fairfield Chapel. And this Sunday, we're going to be continuing our study through Book of Acts. And it mentions how the apostles were fasting. And I thought it would take a minute to answer maybe a few practical questions and give sort of hopefully a helpful explanation of what fasting is and a few tips how to go about it. First of all, for us 20th century, 21st century people, we find fasting and the idea of fasting very, very difficult. There is a growing movement of people who fast for health reasons, and that is called intermittent fasting. And I kind of will mention them at a couple of points. But for us as Christians, we fast not just for the health benefits that may come with fasting, though there certainly are plenty of those and good reasons to believe that fasting is good for the mind, the body, and the spirit for all of us. But there are many people fasting for various reasons, not having to do with prayer. But for us as Christians, when we talk about fasting typically, or at least when it's mentioned in the Bible, it's mentioned for more than just getting in shape or losing weight, though that can be part of it as well. First of all, fasting, when we talk about fasting, we talk about a time of zero calorie intake. That means, just no fresh calories coming into the body. So sometimes when you're talking about fasting, you might continue to have zero calorie liquids, water being the most normal, but you could do something like black coffee or green tea, without the sugar, all the calories that would come from adding sugar or milk or something like that. But zero calories. And sometimes in the Bible, we talk about a complete fast. That's when you're, or dry fasting, as it's sometimes more commonly referred to, at least in health circles. And that is when you don't have any water, no liquids inside of you. And in some health circles, they take it to a complete or what they call a hard dry fast. Then you're not even touching water, because water can come in not only through your mouth, but be absorbed through the pores and cells of your skin. So if someone is doing a hard dry fast, they don't even shower. I don't think they brush their teeth, and you can't really do that for more than a very limited amount of time. Obviously, people around you would not appreciate it if you went without showering for several days at least. So these are the type of, at the very least, when we talk about fasting, we're talking about zero calories. Now, I know, as I'm saying this, some of you might say, well, I had a friend and they fasted chocolate for Lent, or someone fasted television or social media for a time. Just a word about that. One, those things can be great. At least, certainly, there are many distractions we can sacrifice for a season. Television, social media. I think sometimes my life would be a lot better and probably get more praying done if I spent less time on the internet or less time on television. And so all those things can be fantastic sacrifices that can aid our spiritual life. But when the Bible uses the word fasting, it's never in the context of something like that. Whenever it's talking about fasting, it's talking about food. It's talking about taking in no calories and sometimes no water even. So where that's not a bad idea to give up television or internet or some sugar. Hey, it's great to give up sugar full stop, by the way, but that might be another audio tape. Those can have great health benefits, time management issues, even more time doing godly things like prayer. When the Bible talks about it, that's not what fasting is. When the Bible talks about fasting, it talks about going without food. So that's what I'm going to be talking about, even though, once again, other sacrifices of time and money and energy and different things can be helpful as well. But I'm using the term in the strict biblical sense and in a bit in maybe a wider health sense as far as just to discuss what the implications do to the body. First of all, when fasting first appears in the Bible, usually it's a response of grief of some sort. Now, that's important to recognize, because sometimes the way I hear some preachers talk about it, we can get the idea that fasting is a way maybe to get God to give you something he's reluctant to give you. Like, God is in heaven. He's like, I don't know if I really want to give Joshua this, but oh, he's fasting. And when he's fasting, I find it hard to say no. Well, it's not really how fasting works. It's not typically how God works either, might I add. When we see fasting come along, fasting is very much a response. When someone gets bad news, they might immediately go into a fast. For example, maybe you've, let's say you're at work and it's maybe 11:30. Maybe your lunch hour is coming up and you're looking forward to going out with maybe a couple friends, eat in a nice restaurant for lunch, have a nice big lunch. And all of a sudden you get some terrible news. You know, your nephew, your brother's child in another part of the country has been killed in an automobile accident. And that bad news just strikes you with grief. And, you know, it's overwhelming to think, you know, the brother or the sister that you love, their child has just, is lost, he's dead. And all of a sudden your friends say, hey, want to come out to lunch for us? Well, what's happened to your appetite? Is it appropriate to kind of go out and have a big meal? The response might be, guys, I just need to be alone. It's really not a time for feasting. It's a time where I've just heard bad news and I got to sort of process my grief. Now, of course, there may be a sense in which you want to call your brother or sister because they've just lost their child, of course. But as far as it being personal bad news, you just might need to be alone before God and kind of weep. You know, we're not very good here in the West at processing grief. Sometimes we bottle it up. We almost don't know what to do with grief very well. But the Bible talks about worshiping God in our grief. You know, King David did that. When he lost a child, he worshiped God in his grief. You know, he was fasting and he got up and he worshiped the Lord. And then he went and ate something. And so sometimes, you know, when you hear bad news, just skipping that next meal, just so you can go sit and be alone with God and realize that, you know, eating a nice big meal and feeling full and that thankfulness and gratitude that comes, that's not always very conducive with a state of grief and a state of mourning. And sometimes we now need to allow ourselves to go into that. So we see that that's kind of where it begins to pick up early in the Bible. It's realizing that something's wrong and we're mourning something. You know, it's a state of mourning we go into. You know, as the Bible develops, then we see fasting used, and it's still connected with mourning, but it's more than just hearing bad news. Well, you think of like the story of Esther, when, you know, they heard that they were about to be annihilated, and Queen Esther, Hadassah, she calls for her people to, you know, a complete fast for 3 days, a dry fast, we'd say, no water even. And why is that? They're mourning because they've just heard news. Not that they are dead, but they're going to die. And so they mourn before God for this end day. And in that, they don't mourn the bad news, but as it is yet to come, as it's a future event, they pray and ask God, God, this is terrible news. Lord, please change it. Don't let this happen. And so you see this element of intercession coming up, of prayer, of asking, of petitioning heaven for this potential bad news to be turned. And in the New Testament, it's never completely divorced from this idea of mourning or lack or loss. Even in the New Testament, when maybe you might say, well, we're fasting to draw nearer to God. And so that, you know, there's very much a positive emphasis on that. There must also, in order to pray that, you must acknowledge and confess that I'm not as close to God as I could be. And so you're at least recognizing a loss or an immaturity of sorts, a spiritual or character shortcoming. God, I'm so worldly. I'm so far from where you and I should. And I just can't go and eat something right now and feast when I know my spiritual life is so immature and shallow. God, and I want to fast. And in fasting, I'm going to feast on your presence. I'm going to feast to draw near to you. And so that is the purpose of fasting. Now, secondly, I want to give you a couple of things, practical points on why this might affect the body or how it affects the body. First of all, if you're not used to fasting, today, the modern 20th century, 21st century Western way of eating is probably the most unconducive way of eating to fasting ever. That's why if you were to just, let's say you've never fasted before and you eat like a typical Westerner, and maybe you think you eat just a little bit healthier than most Westerners. Still, you would try to fast. You say, I'm going to do a one day, I'm going to fast for one day. You will feel like you're going to die. Even maybe a half a day. say, okay, I'm gonna fast today until dinner time. I'm just gonna fast breakfast and lunch, just drink water, and I won't eat until this evening. Your body will rebel against you. Your body will scream and kick and hurt like nobody's business, because it's not used to that. It's not in that gear. Your body, when it gets used to operating in a certain way, trying to get it to operate in a different way is very different. And this is unique to where we live in history. Part of the reason for this is we're used to eating three times a day. We get up, we have breakfast, we have lunch, and we have dinner. For those of you for whom snacking is part of your lifestyle, you have maybe 4, 5, 6 meals a day. Maybe right before you go to bed, you eat something, you know. And so it's a bit like cattle, you know, we kind of graze all day long. You know, we're constantly eating throughout the day. And sometimes if we're feeling bad or down, we'll have this sort of emotional eating. Oh, I'm feeling bad. I'm going to go get some ice cream. And, you know, we not only constantly graze physically, but there's emotional eating. And this is fairly new in the history of the world. Like the Romans, during Jesus's day, they tended to eat one meal a day shortly after noon. And still in some Mediterranean countries, you know, their biggest meal of the day is that big lunch they have. And then, you know, if you've ever spent much time in the Mediterranean region, you know, they have that siesta. They eat a big meal and then they kind of rest afterwards because it was such a big meal. And when you eat a lot, your body releases a little bit of estrogen hormone and you kind of want to rest a bit. And then you might get up and then work until the evening the next day. And no one eats breakfast. If you ate breakfast, if you ate first thing in the morning, you were lazy, you were a bum, or you had so much money, you were living in the lap of luxury and servants would go around doing your work, you know. And throughout the world, the idea of you need to eat three meals a day, that breakfast is the most important meal a day, that's a foreign idea throughout most of human history. The guy who came up with that breakfast most important meal of the day, I don't know if this is an urban myth, I probably have to look it up, but as I've read in different sources, that's attributed to Mr. Kellogg right there, you know, the guy who was trying to sell you breakfast cereals. He's the one who really pushed the idea that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And it's really become a global thing because about 400 or 500 years ago, the English, where I live now, I live here in England, the British Empire, the English started eating three meals a day, including breakfast, and that became normative. And during the time of the British Empire, that idea was exported. So it's been a global idea for throughout the world for coming up to 100 years now. And I'm not sure, you know, you can look at statistics yourself whether that's been a good idea for our health or not. All this to say, the point of all this is simply that our bodies are not used to, they're used to continual intake, particularly of carbohydrates. And now most people, most cultures throughout human history have always had fasting as part of their lifestyles. You go into a fasted state, typically, if your body is used to fasting. So I'm not talking about if you never fasted before, but if your body's used to fasting, if, for example, you only eat one meal a day or two meals a day, maybe you skip breakfast and are on zero calories until noon, and then you eat dinner as well, maybe you even eat two meals a day, your body naturally goes into a fasting state because your body takes between 12 to 14 hours, depending on what your last meal, maybe as short as 10 to 14 hours to burn up all its what they call glycogen. Or that when you eat carbohydrates or sugars of any type, whether it's artificial sugar or natural sugar like in fruit or even carbohydrates, it kind of converts it onto a substance called glycogen, which gets stored in your liver, which gets burned for fuel. It gets stored in your muscles a little and needs to be burned out depending. That takes some time too, depending on how active you are. But you go through all your glycogen. And that, if you're on zero calories and if you're in a fasted state, that's, you know, that can be between 10 to 14 hours. Obviously, overnight, you're sleeping up to 8 hours or so. So that can kind of get you close. But once you've used up all your glycogen, you use the next thing for fuel, and that is fat. You start, so if you've eaten a nice fatty meal, like some with a lot of butter or maybe ground beef or something with a lot of natural saturated fats, your body begins to use that for fuel. And that's a cleaner fuel. Your body uses glycogen and sugar for carbohydrates for fuel. But once you get into using fat for fuel, you'll notice that you get a lot more mental clarity. And it's more consistent. You don't have the same ups and downs or I need a snack or, you know, you're a bit more stable. And then your body is in a natural place for fasting. You know, you can eat, you cannot eat. It's not such a big deal. The thing is, with the modern diet, few of us ever get into that place. We eat an hour or two before we go to bed, and we eat kind of roughly about the time we get up. And our body really hasn't had a chance to begin using fat for fuel, whether that's the last fat that you ate in your the previous day, or it's your stored body fat. So, yeah, just if you're overweight, or even all of us have some body fat, you know, that'll begin being tapped into. And if you go more than 24 hours fasting with zero calorie intake, your body will be burning its own fat and using. This is where you may have heard the keto diet. This is where it gets its name from, because when it's burning, it's breaking down fat into something called ketones. And your brain really likes ketones. It makes your brain happy. It's a nice, clean, you know, it's a nice, clean energy fuel. It can make your brain really focused and functioning well. Once again, this is it, once your body is adapted to it. If you've never done any of this, and if you were to go out and start fasting tomorrow, say, all right, I'm going to do a two-day fast, and I'm just going to drink water. If your body's not used to going into a state of ketosis or using fat for fuel, it'll be like, whoa, what you doing? You know, you'll think you're going to die. And so you kind of need to build up to it. You know, skip breakfast one day. And once you get used to skipping breakfast, sometimes skip breakfast and lunch, and then try a full, you know, work your way up to it. It's like jogging. If you're not used to exercising, or if you're not used to running, if you go out and jog, the first 30 seconds will be great. Oh, this is good. 2 minutes into it, you're going to think you're going to collapse. You know, you're breathing heavy. You're grabbing your heart. You think you're going to have a heart attack. And it's terrible. Well, you're not used to it. But if you kind of build up to it and do a little bit each day, quick walk, then a light jog. And, you know, by the end of the month, oh, you're feeling good. You like to jog. You want to jog. It's okay. Fasting is very much the same way. And why do we do it? Well, once again, there's great health reasons for doing it. If you're overweight, one of the best ways to lose weight is just cut out breakfast. Just drink water in the morning till you get to lunch. Switch from a high-carb diet to a high-fat, high-protein, or high-protein, low-calorie diet. Or even if you don't change your diet, even if you just eat the same crap that, you know, maybe you eat now. Sometimes just skipping out breakfast will help you lose weight. Doesn't if you're still eating the same crap, it doesn't necessarily make you healthier. It just means, you know, you've lost weight. So if your only goal is to lose weight, a great way to do that is cut out breakfast, drink water until be on zero calories till 12 o'clock. That'll help you tremendously because your body will begin burning its own fat for fuel. All those Christians, I think we should also, you know, pursue health. But that's another talk. I'm just talking about fasting for now. So there are good health reasons, good spiritual reasons. When your brain is on ketones then, when you're in a fasted state, when your body's using its own fat for fuel, your thinking becomes clear. Your body and your mind, your psychology is really in a different place. And if you're then putting that into pursuing the Lord, into prayer, into times of worship, and you're spending that extra time you would be eating in this fasted place of prayer and of worship, wow, your heart and your whole soul and your body is really being united in drawing near to the Lord and calling out to Him. It is. It is a good practice that is completely foreign to our culture today, physically, spiritually. We don't know much about it, but man, it is a great thing to do for spirit, soul, mind, and body. I'm a diabetic. Well, you know, this is interesting. There is a neat documentary. I'm not going to give you, I'll probably get sued if I try giving out medical advice, but here on YouTube there's a documentary. Type in intermittent fasting for weight loss with Jason Fun MD. So he's a doctor, a diabetics doctor, and he actually, because a lot of times people say, well, I can never fast because I have diabetes. Well, it depends on what type. There's type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes. He kind of speaks, he's a medical doctor and he speaks to that. So, you know, if you have some health concerns, look up intermittent fasting and health concerns. Once again, I just gave you the name. This one, Dr. Jason Fun, he has a number of YouTube videos where he speaks to diabetics about fasting and how to go about doing it. So I'll just let him do that if you're interested. All right. So yeah, it adds to our prayer life. I would encourage people in my church and really Christians everywhere to adopt fasting, not just for your own health reasons. So I've talked a lot about that, but also it gives you extra time, energy, and focus to really seek God with a united heart. It will strengthen you spiritually if coupled with prayer, extra time in prayer. And that God hears. When the righteous cry out with a whole and united heart, he hears and he answers. And if we're going to see revival in the UK, if we're going to see revival in Europe, or throughout our world, in America, wherever else, it's when God's people pray that great things happen. I already referred to Hadassah, Queen Esther, who had her people do a 3-day dry fast. God heard that and he answered in some miraculous ways and using Hadassah to turn the heart of a king. And throughout scripture, we see that Paul was called into his ministry in Acts 13 when he was in this, when they were in this place of fasting and worshiping the Lord, ministering to the Lord with fasting. So it definitely adds fuel to our prayer lives as well. Hope this has been helpful. If you have any more questions about this, shoot me a message. Let me know. God bless.